direct.
Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Now hear from Holly Tarr, the student representative from Marysville High School. Hi, Holly.
Hello. The Lyndhurst Report. Under old business, they had Valentine's Day, February 14th, when they had a whole week of events. They had reverse hearts game, the kissing booth, Valentine's singing gram, and a Hmong scholarship. They had a good turnout, and it was very successful. Under new business, their blood drive is February 26th, and they have a good amount of sign-ups, so they're hoping for a lot of people to donate. President's Council, February 27th. Winter Sports Banquet, March 5th. Senate Meeting, March 5th. Mr. Peterson and Fran are going to CATA in Reno, March 4th through the 7th. Yuba Gardens Tours, March 10th. Leadership sign-ups. Preparing for their next big event, which is Sadie's and Battle of the Sexes Rally. For Marysville, under new business, we have Food Day coming up on February 28th, where classes and clubs can sell food at lunchtime during the activities on the street being put on by our rally commissioners. March Madness is coming. This is a month full of dress-up days. Every day is something different for the entire month. We will also be having Pennies for Patients. It's a homeroom competition during March where we collect pennies for the Children's Hospital. Student Council has had a meeting today discussing Teacher of the Month as well as our blood drive success. Juniors also presented the prom theme, which is the Starry Night. Under old business, we had a blood drive last Friday, and it was very successful. We collected 76 pints. Interact had a meeting yesterday that discussed RILA candidates, as well as our annual Rotarian Work Day. Students from Marysville High School will be gathering on April 26th at Kynock School at 9 o'clock in the morning to paint the poles of the building into pencils in the first through fifth grade wing. As some of you may know, our boys varsity basketball team has earned a playoff game. And this is the first time Marysville High School has had a home playoff game in exactly 10 years to the date. They're playing tomorrow night in the gym at 7 o'clock, and we would greatly appreciate it if you would show your support and come to the game.
Thank you very much. Recognition. Board, please.
Good evening. This evening we have Tony Veneer and Jed Noons, our directors for our special education program known as Student Services, and they have a couple of presentations to make, and I don't know which one to hand the microphone to first. Tony. Thank you. And careful not to trip you.
In 1996, Alethea Sellers was hired as an instructional assistant at our Bogus school. For the last 18 years, she has served our district and helped in the educational raising of several students across the district. Most of us define kids by their disabilities these days, but Alethea is an exception. She is constantly able to see the strength in an individual student and build to the best of their ability. From 97 to 2011, she served at Lyndhurst High School. Last year, she served a student at Marysville High School, where she was able to maintain these students in general comprehensive school settings as opposed to more self-contained, more restrictive settings. Alethea has an understanding of serious health concerns, visual impairments, autism spectrum disorders, etc. And she's been an absolute asset to our district and to our office for the last 18 years. Alethea, thank you for your commitment to our district and to our students. To work on my mic skills a little bit here. In very late in the school year in 2011, school districts became responsible for the mental health services for students with special needs. We spent a while figuring out what this meant, and we often turned to mental health providers who were working in the field for our guidance and support. Some of them were more helpful than others. And I'd like to recognize my good friend, Mr. Steve Shoup. He's an intervention counselor with Sutter Yuba Mental Health, and he has been by our side as we've learned a whole new world of mental health services, new acronyms, new systems, late night texting and phone calls saying, "How do I do this? Please help us. This is terrifying stuff," and he's been an absolute support to our office and to our district and to our ED program in particular. He's an advocate for struggling youth and families and very much appreciated by our school psychology department and, again, our ED program staff. He's committed to this community like no other, and I want to thank you, Steve, for your empathy and support over the last 5 years in particular. Thank you.
On Thanksgiving.
Comments from the board members. Mr. Boone?
Made a few site visits last week. Things seem to be running pretty well at the sites. Teachers busy going about their stuff. Got to go to Yuba Feather, look at their new buildings, very nice. And anyways, seems to be running pretty smooth at school sites. So.
Thank you. Ms. Foy?
Local control formula is on everybody's mind. Tomorrow, I'm going to go to Sacramento for CSPA with the Yuba City rep on a meeting with CSPA on the local control formula for 3 hours. Spelling Bee last week was done very well by Jolie and Ashley, and all the principals were there, and they did a great job. This Thursday, Carrie from Yuba Gardens and Gary is going to speak at the South Yuba meeting that's held at Duke's Diners once a month. Hence, there are the representatives coming from Yuba Gardens. Next week, it'll probably be another school in the South. And then Lyndhurst High School is going to, with the Academic Decathlon, is going before the Exchange Club tomorrow. They need to raise $300,000 to go to the state finals. And so they're hitting all the service clubs, and they're going to go to the Exchange Club tomorrow.
You said 300?
3,000.
3,000?
3,000.
300,000.
3,000.
That's a lot of money.
Can
I go?
They've got to sleep for 3 days.
I'm sorry.
Were you done, Ms. Foy?
Yes.
About that. Thank you.
All right. Just a couple of things. I had a chance to attend the Officer of the Year dinner, which officers from each of the agencies in the Yuba Sutter area were honored.
There are some remarkable people working in our enforcement system. I'm just amazed at the quality of people. I also wanted to mention that the UBSETTER search for talent is going to be at McKinney on March 21, and that's something that benefits McKinney, and that's also put on by the Exchange Club. I want to wish Lyndhurst good luck in the academic decathlon. I'm sure if it was like last year, there'd be somebody here asking us for money here individually, but good luck to Lyndhurst. It's first year in 9 years?
Yeah. Thank you. I just have to reiterate, being a former Lyndhurst teacher, how great that is. And it is the first time. And not to forget, it has been 10 years, the boys basketball team. Doesn't seem that long ago that my old buddy Kenny Griffith was taking Marysville High to the playoffs and beyond every year. So it's nice to see him back. And good news, Holly. Thank you. No? Mr. Harris?
I'd like to congratulate the Spelling Bee winners and Lyndhurst and all the athletes who are moving forward in their respective sports at both schools to go to probably sections or I don't know what they call them now, divisions. So, yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Okay, opportunity for employee organizations to address the board. Marysville Joint Unified. Teachers?
Hi.
Hi.
I just wanted to come up for a moment because we have the calendar on the agenda tonight and wanted to reaffirm what most of us in the leadership of MUTA have believed to still be true after the retiring and rehiring of people, though we wanted to check. So we put out a survey on the calendar. The critical question was 2 weeks or 3 weeks? And just in a one-day quick survey, while there were lots of comments that really show why the calendar is such a divisive issue, and lots of suggestions, the question, the basic question of 2 weeks or 3 weeks, the difference was 70 to 75 of those who answered. One or the other, and I'm not going to tell you which was 75 or which was 70 because we're not going to base our any kind of decision on five people out of 430 and only 145 that replied. So as far as that issue goes, one thing, however, that seemed to be a really good suggestion for the sake of ADA is that the November 11th holiday is on a Tuesday, Veterans Day, and if we could move one of the teacher work days that are all front-loaded now instead of through the year to the 10th, then you wouldn't have, and maybe, and if you needed to, then start the year on a Wednesday instead of Thursday, then that way we wouldn't have an ADA problem that Monday when there's a holiday the next day. And that's it.
Thank you.
Sure.
Any other employee organizations? If not, public comments. I have one card. Jim Carpenter. Jim? How are you? Fine, thank you.
I was thrilled to see the agenda that named Alethea Sellers as your A-plus employee for this board meeting. My stepson, Michael, was under her care for a long period of time. He and my wife would be here, but he had his wisdom teeth pulled today. And he's not in any fit condition to be out of the house, and she's not going to leave him by himself. So I'm here to represent them. My wife wrote a long letter. It's hard to condense. 2 years of kindergarten and every other year through the senior year of high school into a short presentation, but rather than read the entire letter to you, I'm going to hand out copies. But I do want to read the first paragraph. She says, Alethea Sellers has been my son Michael Carr's one-on-one personal aide from kindergarten through his senior year. She not only has been dependable, but has shown her skill, determination, resourcefulness, and dependability over the years as Michael Carr's aide. And to highlight some of the things she said, she worked with him in the classroom, at lunch, recesses, field trips. I personally was the administrator for his week at Woodleaf, and Alethea was there for the entire week. She's taken him with ROTC to the Reno Air Show. Michael has seizures. Some of them are grand mal, and they're hard to miss. Some of them are absence seizures, where just for a while he's not responding, and you might think that he's not, there's nothing wrong because he just looks like he's thinking about something. But Alethea monitored those, and for a time that was a very important thing. She made sure that he didn't overdo it physically because he does have issues that can be brought up by overheating. She actively participated in his education. She educated herself in his condition, and that was not easy. He has what's known as Sturge-Weber syndrome, and it's a very rare condition, so there's not a lot out on it. He got to grow up with his age peers and know what is expected of him in the normal world. And the last paragraph, she earned every dollar of her paycheck and made a great difference in Michael's quality of education. In the process, she educated others about individual potential. Mrs. Sellers is a big asset to the district and, I believe, the only personal aide that has stayed with one child from entry to exit of traditional school. She is awesome. Thank you for listening to me, and if I may, I've got a copy of that that I'd like to pass out to each of you.
Thank you, Jim.
May I say something?
Sure, please.
Jim, I want to tell you, you and your staff put on a great gala.
Oh, yeah.
Probably the biggest you've had here in some time. It was an incredible crowd.
Yours, Pat. Thank you. Tony and Jed, I did not forget you. No, actually, I did. I've saved the best for last. Come on up now.
Thought I did all that work for nothing, Frank. Got all nervous for no reason. I thought that tonight I would spend a few minutes and talk about the provision of mental health services in school districts. As I referred to when I was presenting Steve's A-plus Community Partner Award, in June of 2011, Assembly Bill 114 essentially eliminated Chapter 26.5 of the Government Code, and it ended the state mandate for county mental health agencies to provide mental health services to kids with disabilities. And not surprisingly, what it then did is made LEAs, or us, solely responsible for those mental health services and for those services to be implemented in our schools. So during, I have to remember to hit this button, right, Mike? During the 11-12 school year, our focus was primarily going, wait a minute, we're not going to do this. We don't know how to do this. This doesn't fit in the school setting, not us. A few lawsuits were filed and basically shut down, a few lawsuits out of very large districts like within LA County, and went nowhere. So by about August of the 12-13 school year, we had come to the realization that this was in fact our responsibility. So then it was scramble time. Where does the funding come from? Are we actually going to provide therapeutic services in a school setting, pull a kid out of the classroom, do therapy, send them back to the classroom? How will this work? Residential placements, who's going to be responsible for that? How will we pay for those? How will this impact our existing program, our programs, and how will we manage things like psychotropic medications in the schools? Some of those things are in students' IEPs currently. Are we actually going to be responsible for those things? So our IEPs, our IEP teams, had a basic understanding that, yes, we were now accountable for those services, but we didn't have any direction on how to go about providing those services. Sort of unfortunately typical of California Department of Education, no guidance, no procedural manual that came out and said, here's how you do it. So we spent the year looking at all these different areas and questioning what we needed to do. We understood the shift of responsibility, and we understood fairly quickly that funding was there to support us, both state and federal sources, and these resources had previously flowed down into Department of Health and Human Services and then over to county mental health agencies. And then we had a collaborative relationship with staff at county office or county mental health. They would come and participate in IEP meetings with us, but basically they were the experts. They provided the service. They made a residential placement when they needed to. They called us when one of our children had to be hospitalized and helped us to transition them back into the appropriate school setting. But at this point, the funding was shifted to the county offices of education. And then our CELPAs were responsible for allocating those sources out to its school districts. So our CELPA made a decision to base the funding upon ADA. Whoops, messed myself up. And so at this time, Marysville School District receives just under about $600,000 annually in order to provide these services. And again, the services are prescribed by an IEP. And so that's what those funds are for, is to cover the services on individual IEPs and also to expand the entire continuum of special education services in order to add that mental health component into the continuum. And again, without direction from CDE and not a whole lot of models out there across the country for us to look at, we started looking to ourselves, to Sutter County and surrounding counties. Placer County was also very helpful. And our CELPA planned and adopted a tiered approach to service delivery, to mental health service deliveries in the schools. And the tiered approach, very similar to the academic intervention service delivery models, is based on intensity of need. So at tier one, upside down pyramid at the top, the focus is on providing services to all students. So when we talk about things we on and off have always done, things like character building, things like friendship skills, or we've had programs in our classrooms such as Second Step, which is an empathy building or violence prevention skills with kids, social skills. Those are interventions that occur in Tier 1, and we've been able over the last couple of years to help the school sites really refocus to those types of preventative interventions within the classrooms. And again, those Tier 1 services are available to all students. They are not prescribed by IEPs, and they're implemented by the school sites themselves. Oftentimes, they're implemented with the support of school psychologists, outreach counselors. We have a lot of support also out of Jolie's office in terms of supporting that tier one type of service. This should sound a lot like the PBI models that are being implemented in the schools right now. Solid PBI models are really these tiered frameworks for intervention that hopefully prevent students from later displaying really maladjusted and more serious mental health concerns along the way. Tier two, we get a little bit more intensive in the services, and these look like more structured, explicit group counseling, teaching coping skills, teaching kids how to manage grief, how to manage frustration. These are interventions that have goals in place for each kid to achieve. And if children are receiving services at this tier two level, it means they've sort of not benefited from the interventions that occurred at the first tier, so they're referred on for other types of services, sometimes led by a school psychologist, sometimes not. It can be something like checking in with an adult, anger management training, again, grief counseling, a little bit more intensive and more consistent counseling types of services. Tier three, and here's where we get into the more intensive mental health services. In the IEP world, and now in our sort of coexisting IEP and mental health world, we call it mental health as a related service within the IEP. Like any other service that's provided in an IEP, like speech and language therapy or academic instruction support, we can now provide mental health services as prescribed by the IEP. These look like individual therapy, group therapy, social work services, psychological services, behavior intervention services, non-public residential treatment placements, and expanded ED program services. And I say expanded because the way the funding potentially will be audited is that we cannot use the funding for any services and programs that were previously provided by us prior to this shift away from county mental health agencies. So we can expand upon our ED program services, but not replace our previous methods for funding them. Some examples, well, I'll skip over the examples of funding. I think I've covered that part. On to the good stuff. This is what we've done over the last year, where we get to show off just a little bit. We have currently 9.2 FTE school psychologists in the district. They are all providing individual counseling and guidance services and case management services to between about 5 to 20 students, depending on the school site. And for that reason, we've had to increase the psychologist staff by 0.5, and we monitor those needs, and out of my office, we monitor those IEPs to make sure we're doing okay and we have an adequate school psychology department to cover all of those needs. They are growing. We've had to attend several trainings in order to sort of recollect ourselves and remember that we are psychologists. We do provide counseling, and just relearn in terms of what do we use for counseling services, what do we use that actually is research-based and proven and effective. So we've done a good deal of training in our department, and we have additional training scheduled for the spring and fall so that we can improve our skills further. Within our regional ED program, we have expanded. We have a stronger, richer staff-to-student population at this time, and our hope with that is that we are able to continue to decrease our referrals to our non-public schools. Our non-public schools, a highly expensive, intensive type of service, but as we improve and expand in our ED program, we feel like we can do just as good a job as our non-public schools. Right, Jill? Within our ED program, we have also been able to return to having a model of group therapy. So within the school day, Kids have therapy right there in their classrooms. Our mental health clinicians and school psychologists are pushing into those classrooms, and they're in that environment teaching coping skills, teaching social skills that they need in order to get themselves out of that placement. We've been able to purchase new social skills curriculum and do training with those in order to improve our service delivery. My favorite part of our ED program expansion is our parent training. We are now doing parent training in a group setting, both in our elementary and our middle school classrooms. We have parents that are coming in every week, hopefully not just there for the food, but we're doing parent training with our mental health clinicians. And at the high school level, we are taking a very strong look at what kind of product we are producing, what kind of young adult we're producing out of the ED program. We have a good graduation rate. Where we seem to be having some trouble is with independent living skills and work readiness. So what we're working on now is our transition services and building an independent living skills program for our kids at the high school level. We're hoping to make it a community-based instruction type of model where we're actually teaching the kids how to go out into the community, do observations of the other young adults around them, observe their behavior, see how they react to the world, how they behave in a grocery store, how they behave on a job hunt, teaching the kids self-evaluation skills. What do I need to do in order to look like that young adult who tends to look more normal, if you will? So we are really focused at the high school level on teaching them independent skills and effective behavior in the community. We have hired one full-time and a second part-time mental health clinician, and they are Ben Siegler and Jazz Gill, both who could not be here tonight, unfortunately, but they are a terrific asset to our department. They are the two who are doing all of the mental health evaluations of our most at-risk students. They're also guiding our IEP teams for recommendation of services and then providing the direct individual group parent therapy services to all of our families. The other thing that our mental health clinicians have been able to do is take over from me the face-to-face contact that we're required to have 4 times a year with our kids who are placed in our residential facilities. So the clinicians have been a terrific asset to implementing the mental health services in the district. Questions?
Comments. How many students do we have in residential placement in the district? I know we have some outside the state, and we have some in Sacramento and those areas, Butte County.
Currently, in residential 24/7 types of settings, we only have 2. And both of them are out of the state at this time, and that's because it's difficult. The state of California has sort of less or more stringent parameters around how we can assist our kids, and both of our children right now are runners, and so in the state of California we have to let them run, that's not always a safe behavior. So we have looked out of the state where we can actually lock doors behind them to ensure their safety.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Just a comment and a question. Very good presentation, precise, concise, organized, easy to understand. How many EDs do we have on our elementary? What elementary schools have our ED program?
Just one. That would be Cedar Lane. We're very thankful to Cedar Lane.
How many students are on that?
Jill, we have 11 students as of today. That group tends to fluctuate quite a bit, so we have 11 right now. And hopefully no referrals for the remainder of school year. We like, once they get into the classroom, one of the things we've noticed is that we like them to be a class. And Unfortunately, with that population, it can be pretty mobile. We have kids that come into group homes also in our area that have ED programs prescribed on their IEPs. And we see the kids react very difficultly to having new kids come in and out. So it's been a challenge for us.
And then at the high school, where are the classes, both Marysville and Lyndhurst?
Just Lyndhurst High School. And then our middle school classroom is at Yuba Gardens.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Doing a great job, Tony. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He's helped me, that's why he's saying.
Well, no wonder you named him.
That's good to hear. Thank you. Now time for the superintendent's report.
Thank you very much. I have a couple of items, and the first one is that I have received over the last week and a half two phone calls from individuals, one that Mr. Rex directed my way, that are interested in buying some of our property, specifically Agnes Dean Building and Oregon House and Rose Bar School. So I am seeking direction from the board as to whether you would like me to begin investigating the process. It is rather lengthy. It's about a six-month process and some very stringent rules that go along with that. But first, we need to do some preliminary investigation. These are undersized pieces of property that in our master plan did not meet any of our needs or projected needs and have been just kind of sitting idly by. So I just need to know if the board would support my initial investigation as to what the process is. I'll bring that back to the board. I don't know how serious these folks are in actually wanting to buy the property, but at some point we need to kind of see what is the process and then determine if the board is interested in unloading those pieces of property.
Yeah, there's been two different individuals interested in the Oregon House property, the community center there, and then the Rose Bar. Is that the one in Dobbins?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
No.
Smartsville.
Okay, because we also own another property in Dobbins that's next to the small store as you before you enter into
it's the Grange,
Dobbins
I think,
Hall.
The little Grange
yeah.
Hall.
Yes.
Yes. And so we would look into those. But first I need to investigate the process and see what the cost is and then have the board make a determination if you want us to move any further. So
yeah, I think,
do I
like
see?
You said, it's a very lengthy process.
Yes.
It has to go to public bid, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. To other governmental agencies.
Yeah.
I was thinking on the Rose Bar School that I vaguely remember a 25-year lease that we may have.
It is. There is a lease on that piece of property. It is, let me get my notes here. It is $1 a year for rent. It can be terminated, which I think is interesting, at one day prior to the written notice being given, or after, I would say, the written notice is given. It is a 25-year lease with the Smartville Fire Protection District that we entered into back in 2004.
Hmm.
So, I mean, certainly there are a lot of things to investigate and to determine as to which pieces of property you'd be interested in, but first we need to investigate the process and see what the cost would be to engage in that process.
Yeah, I would like to see us investigate the process.
Okay.
The Oregon House is beginning to become a liability. The fences have all been taken down once this year. We had to replace those. It's been vandalized once. It's only, if I remember, slightly over an acre, so there's nothing.
Yes.
We could never put a site there. So
they're very
I would like
small.
To,
the Rose Bar, I don't think, is that big.
No, I don't believe so.
And I believe the site in Dobbins is also smaller than an acre, so it
yes.
wouldn't hurt to investigate all
and,
three.
And some of the buildings are not in the best repair. So.
What's the Fire Protection District using it for, or are they?
I don't know to tell you. Other than they may have that's their meeting hall and where they disperse from. It's just been a building that they have used as their center point for going out to fire calls.
At one point, really, probably right after there was a child care center.
Yes.
They were allowing someone to operate a child care center.
Yes. It's had a couple of uses over the years.
Yeah.
What would the board like to see you proceed then? I take it, please.
Okay, great. Then I will embark on that item, see what I can bring back to you for further discussion. The second item is, over the past probably 3 or 4 years, there's been some desire on behalf of the district to look for property, one of which was to look for a new Foothill Intermediate site, and the second was to see if we could obtain the property right next to Linda Elementary School. If you think about it, there's a lot, an empty lot, and then there are a couple of houses on the back side. Apparently, there is some funding that is set aside at this moment for those pieces of property for potential purpose, but I don't know if the board has an interest at this point in time pursuing any further negotiations on those two pieces of property. So I don't know if you want to make a decision at the moment, but you know, it's not something that we have a need for immediately. Certainly the Linda property, we're looking to expand the parking lot. There's a very limited amount of parking there, so that's primarily the purpose for that.
We have two pieces of property right now down in Wheeler Ranch. We have one piece of property over in East Linda. Mm-hmm. Why do we need another one? We have plenty of property now.
Well, one is specifically for the Foothill Intermediate site because it is a site. The current site has asbestos in the soil, so it's not suitable for doing any kind of soil disturbance. And so the determination was made some years ago to look for a place to relocate that site to. I'm just asking if the board has a desire to continue looking at it, and if not, that's fine too. I just need to have a direction from the board. If tonight, great. If you want to think about it and get back to me, and I can bring it back at a future meeting.
Couldn't we use the funding for building a school in Linda? We've already promised the people out there and basically the staff that was there prior to closing Alicia. That's where I see the money being used, instead of buying more property.
Certainly, it can
you
be
mean
used
if we
for
sold the property, we could use that money. We could put that into the fund if we are.
Referring to the previous announcement,
if we sold that property, we could put those funds into the Linda School. And the one thing I see about the property next to Linda is it backs right up on the classrooms there, and if somebody actually buys it and builds something there, then they're going to be looking right into the school classrooms. But
you have the same situation at Yuba Gardens. That right up against the playground. And Lyndhurst has the same situation. Except you have classrooms, you know, two-story classrooms look right down on the housing. So, you know, to me, it would make more sense to, since we've already said we will build you a school in Linda, to follow through on that.
Just so the board remembers, we also promised the Foothill community that we would be building a middle school, high school campus for them as well during the bond time. So,
if I remember right, we said we would look into it. Alicia, we said it would be built within 3 to 4 years, and that's been well over 3 to 4 years.
Need direction from the board what you'd like to do.
I say go ahead and look into it.
No, I do too. I like the idea if we sold it to go towards a new campus. But that's further down the road. I know what you're saying.
Right. But right now I'm looking to see if you want me to continue with negotiations for a potential site for the new Foothill Intermediate / High School and or the Linda property, which is right next to Linda School. That's the direction I need.
Nashville?
I would like to see us continue looking. Foothill School is in disrepair. Its play surface is extremely bad. The pavement is very bad. We can't put another building on that site because of the asbestos. It's been very hard to identify sites up there because of the naturally occurring asbestos. In fact, we had a site given to the school district that we couldn't even accept because it was going to cost us more to abate the site than build the buildings. There has been a couple of sites potentially found up there, and I would like to see us follow through with those now rather than if we go 5, 6, 7 years, we might be in another middle of a construction boom where we're paying five times the amount for those sites. I agree with Mr. Miller, we don't need to go spend a bunch of money that we don't need right now, but we have students on naturally occurring asbestos and a school that is being run down that we can no longer build buildings on. So there is going to be, sooner or later, there is going to be a need for a site up there, and I would rather pay minimal dollars for it now than pay maximum dollars for it later. But that's my thoughts. And I know that we had one site identified up off of Frenchtown Road. I don't know if that's a doable site or not with the buses and everything, and that's a fairly narrow road. So, and I believe there was another one identified in Oregon House, but we've had to move that far up the hill because of the asbestos problem.
And what I'm asking is just for us to further our negotiations, and should we come to some kind of an agreement on a price, that certainly comes back to the board, and you can at that point say, no, thank you, or absolutely move forward. So it's just to continue that or not. That's all I need to know.
I would like to see us.
Yeah, Mr. Moon is yes. Mr. Miller is a no. Mr. Fleury, yes.
Yes.
Yes. Yes. No.
That's
a 5-2.
Thank you. And then in talking with Mr. Crawford, we have identified a couple of committees that I would like to ask for board participation on. The first one is the Local Control Accountability Plan, the LCAP, which is part of the local control funding formula. It's the plan for how we will, over the next 3 years, spend the funding that will be coming to our district. We met last week with some of our bargaining units. We will have a second meeting where they have gone back to their membership. They're surveying. They're bringing forward some recommendations based on the 8 State of California School Board's priorities, which is the focus for this plan. And so I would like to see if there were a couple of board members who'd like to sit in to listen to those suggestions that are coming back from the bargaining groups. That'll be March 12th at 2 p.m.
I'm looking for 2 volunteers. Raise your hands and I'll open my eyes.
So Glenn and Tony?
Glenn and Tony.
Okay.
March 12th at 2 o'clock. Thank you, gentlemen.
The second panel that I would like to have at least 2 board members serve on, as you know, we have gone out and we are looking for a new assistant superintendent for business services. The initial interviews will be March 4th with a community panel that Mr. Carrion has put together, and it's a very impressive panel. And Terry Ryland, our interim, has put together an also impressive technical panel. But then when it comes to the final, the top contenders will be coming to me, and I would like to request at least 2 board members and no more than 3 be a part of that. Okay, so I've got Jeff and Jim. Okay, there's 3, and I've got Frank. Do we want to do a little arm wrestling? Or?
No.
Okay. So I've got 3 then. I've got, which we can't have 4, so I've got 3 with Frank, Jeff, and Jim. Okay. Next we have, and hopefully you got my phone message about the 2 upcoming parent input meetings on the school messenger service that we use. Our first one is going to be at McKinney tomorrow night, 5:30 to 6:30. And it is, again, a forum for parents, staff, community members, anyone who would like to come to begin the process of gathering Where do you see our strengths? Where do you see the areas we need to focus on with our new local control funding formula dollars as it will be reflected in the LCAP plan? Are there a couple of board members that I could get for the Wednesday night for sure? And then the Wednesday I've got, and that one I don't, as many as you that want to come, you may come. So, Jeff? Now, Phil, do you want to come to the McKinney one or to the Yuba Gardens one? Okay, so Yuba Gardens.
That's a surprise.
McKinney for Mr. Danable.
McKinney one is at 5:30 tomorrow night.
Yuba Gardens.
Probably go to both of them.
Glenn.
Bernie, that's not only Bernie.
The McKinney one is 5:30 tomorrow night?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you can't make one or the other, feel free to jump the river and come to the other one. So, Mr. Rex.
I'll try to make the McKinney one.
Okay.
Jim, do you want to go to Yuba Gardens?
So do you want to come to the Wednesday? Oh. Okay, that's at, this one is at 5:30. Okay, p.m. So I have Jeff, Tony, and Bernie coming to the McKinney. And then I have Phil and Glenn coming to the Yuba Gardens. Did I miss anybody? Okay. And I know it's hard to believe, but it's time for board members to start thinking about signing up for the 2014 promotion and graduation ceremonies. So I have an initial sign up, so if you're ready to put your name to specific schools, please do so, and then Lisa will start that list and we'll bring it back a couple of times if we don't have enough folks that are going to be able to attend. So I will pass that way. The March 12th, I don't have a time just yet. It will depend on how many top candidates we have, and so I would say...
No, that was the 12th.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's 2 p.m. Sorry, I was just jumping to the interview. Sorry. 2 o'clock for the collective bargaining input meeting, and then for the... final interview panel. I don't know the time just yet, but soon as we know, as we get a little closer, I'll let you know. Hopefully, actually, we do have a date, and that date is also March 12th, with a time to be determined. So I'll let you know just as soon as we see how many final candidates we have. I'm guessing it'll probably be a half day, but depending on how many final round candidates we have, it could be a full day. And then with all of that, I am finished with my report, Mr. Crawford.
Well done. Thank you. Now, approval of the minutes of February 11th, 2014. We have a motion on the floor for Mr. Harris to approve. Do I have a second?
Second.
A second by Mr. Reck. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Did you hear the vote?
It's on the minutes, Mr. Danilo.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So that would be 7 yes.
Consent agenda. This is the time to consider. All items should be considered routine or have been discussed before this meeting. Should any member of the board desire to pull from the consent agenda any item, please do so. This is the time. Gentlemen?
Personnel services number 5, please.
Personnel services number 5. Any others? Going once, twice. Okay, Mr. Boone?
Okay.
We're going to make a motion on that.
Okay, I'll move that we approve the consent agenda with the exception of personnel services number 5.
Mr. Reck has made a motion to approve.
I'll second.
And there's a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's 7. Mr. Boone.
Okay.
Okay, on personnel services number 5, the school calendar. Mr. Carrion, we seem to be starting school, it seems like earlier and earlier and earlier all the time. Why is that? Is it to coordinate with the other school districts in the area? I know it causes a problem for high schools, but if I would rather be working in June than the middle of August.
To provide services to students. The key this year is a request by the high schools to essentially synchronize the end of the school year, not synchronize, but end the school year in sufficient time so that high school students can then enroll with the Yuba College summer school. In the past, they've been out of luck because we've been a week behind and they haven't been able to tap into the very limited opportunities to attend summer school. So that was the focus of backdating everything, given what's been the normal pattern of 3 weeks at Christmas, a week at Thanksgiving, a week at spring break, and the other holidays, including that are statutory and fit nicely with what's a traditional calendar. So long-winded answer, but it's the ensure that our high school seniors and or juniors and or other high school students can take advantage of the limited offerings at the summer school at Yuba College.
Did the MUTA survey have any other questions about the calendar? Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Veterans Day. I think that's a great idea.
If I may advise, we're also going to have a shortage of substitutes on the Friday before, because then that creates a 5-day weekend for teachers.
For the approval of the start and the end dates of the school calendar. Motion of approval from Mr. Fleury. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
A second from Mr. Boom. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That passes unanimously. Superintendent, Common Core State Standards Implementation Funding.
As you will remember, at the last board meeting, I brought this to you for your consideration and for action this evening. This item is specifically dealing with the Common Core State Standards Implementation Funding. It is based on how many students we have in our district, times approximately $200. So our district is receiving 1.850, so $1,850,000 that has very specific spending limits, can go for professional development, technology, and for curriculum. And as I explained to the board last meeting, right now the only curriculum that is aligned to the new Common Core is the math subject area, with language arts following in the next probably 2 years, and then after that there'll be science, and then there'll be social science. But certainly at this point in time, with the funds needing to be spent by June of 2015, our teachers are very excited and are currently looking at the state adopted materials. And so our hope is that they will have a front runner in June, but as I promised the adoption committee, But if that doesn't happen, we'll move forward until they do come to a conclusion. Unfortunately, by December, I'm going to have to push them hard to give me a recommendation so we can get the materials ordered and to the sites by the end of the school year when the funds must be expended. The plan is outlined in your board agenda item with about $1 million in round numbers going for a K-12 textbook adoption. That's been about what it runs for us to provide textbooks for every student in one subject area. About $200,000 in technology, looking specifically at providing some technology support and machinery, computers, to help with the Smarter Balanced Assessment, which is mandatory that it's done on computer this year and next year. The third year out, they'll allow us to do some hard copy testing and then some online testing. And then the balance of around $650,000 will go for professional development. That sounds like a lot of money for professional development, but it's really not going to go very far with as much as we need to do with not only a new curriculum adoption, but with our language arts folks who are working diligently to piece together what they have now until the new adoption for language arts materials come out. So there's a lot of time we need to have teachers come together to work on developing the Common Core program for their respective grade levels. And then also we've identified with our teachers union that, you know, technology is a huge need for not only the apparatus, but it's training teachers on all of the nuances and all of the new technology, but then helping them, once they're proficient in using the technology, to actually be able to instruct students on how to use the technology. It's a much more sophisticated test requiring a much higher level of skills on both the part of the teacher and the student, so we have a large need for professional development. As I have shared before, anything that we don't spend in textbooks, that money will roll over into professional development, just because that is a very large need, and it will start now and we'll go all the way through 2015, but my hope is also that we find other funding through our LCAP plan to continue the staff development. It's a whole new initiative and certainly one we want to offer in a variety of venues, after school, during school, online. It's a huge initiative, needless to say. So you have outlined for you how I would propose we move forward in those three specific areas, meeting the needs that have really been identified to date as we know Common Core today.
Technology seems a little low.
It does.
Just to me.
But we have had sites who have had significant categorical dollars that they've invested in technology over the years.
Okay.
If we were looking to provide technology for all of our schools to the levels that we have it currently, it would be a much, much larger number. And it wouldn't be enough, even with a $1.8 million, to do the technology we would need. So it's nice that we've been building up. Schools have been moving forward with technology, so a lot of that has been purchased. This specifically is looking more at the Foothill schools who have not had some of those categorical resources in the past, and so it's helping to bring them up to a level where they'll be able to have the technology for daily instruction, but also ultimately to use during that testing window.
Thank you. Any other questions?
Okay.
Snuck up on me. Nutrition services.
But we need action.
Oh, I'm sorry. We need a motion.
Make a motion to follow staff recommendation on the allocations for core standard implementation funding.
We have a motion for Mr. Harris on implementation of core funding. And a second, Mr. Danable. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's seven. Carried unanimously. Now a new business, nutrition services, resolution 2013-14/25, National School Breakfast Week. And Mrs. Todd.
Actually, we have Amber Watson in the audience who will be more than happy to approach the microphone and give you the explanation
for this item?
Good evening. Thank you. So this resolution is proclaiming March 3rd through 7th, National School Breakfast Week. We would be participating in this national observation of School Breakfast Week. It's to encourage students to participate in school breakfast. It's known that students that participate in school breakfast do better in school, and they miss less school days. We provide quality meals with our breakfast program. We offer whole grain breakfast items, low-fat and fat-free milk. We offer fresh fruit, and we'll be celebrating this week by introducing new breakfast items. We're doing a whole grain breakfast bagel that has ham and cheese on it, a whole grain banana bread, and whole grain scones during this week.
That's good to me.
Samples will be delivered.
Yeah, I was going to say, those scones, where do I pick them up? Any questions? Keep up the great work.
Thank you.
Good to see you. Thank you.
Make a motion to approve.
I need a motion. Oh, go ahead, Mr.
Motion to approve.
Motion to approve. Do I have a second? Second. Mr. Miller, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. That's passed unanimously, 7-0. That's it. No others. If there's no other questions. You do, and then we have a closing. I'm sorry.
I would just like to point out, by accepting the start date and end date of the calendar, you've restricted yourself, because if you were to move one of those teacher work days to November 10th, then your start date would be Wednesday instead of Thursday of that week. Mr. Carrion's concern, I'm a little bit confused about why he has that concern, because the teacher work days, it's specified in our contract that we cannot use those for the discretionary days. And so by having it be a regular day, it can be used as a discretionary day, and you would have Monday being the day with a lack of subs if people were going to use that as a discretionary and take a four-day weekend. If it's a teacher work day, then it wouldn't be a four-day weekend. Even if people used the Friday before, it would be 3 days. Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Monday is a mandatory teacher work day, unless you're sick. And then having Tuesday off because it's a holiday, federal holiday. So before you keep that, I'd like you to consider that.
I think it's possible, too, that, you know, that's a lot of days in a row. I mean, for the kids to be off, too. I mean, if I understand that, it would be Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then
no, the holiday is on Tuesday.
And the holiday's on?
The holiday's on Tuesday.
So they would come back Monday.
They have Saturday, Sunday off. They would have Monday off, but the teachers would be there for a work day. Tuesday's a holiday. I'm considering families who, because they have the Tuesday holiday, might go on a trip and make it a four-day weekend for themselves.
And
so they won't have the kids.
ADA.
So they won't have their kids attend on Monday if we have it as a regular day.
I appreciate it. I let the cat out of the bag. The action has been taken on that item, so consequently.
I understand that the action has been taken. However, if a board member who took that action wanted to bring it back to the board, they could. Because if they didn't have that as a consideration when they took the action, it wasn't specifically about that. It was about the beginning and end.
And I appreciate your input. I sincerely do. Any other questions from the board?
Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Fleury?
Who passed away suddenly last Thursday. His wife works upstairs as a secretary for Ashley Vetti. He was not a teacher in our district, but he was a well-known volunteer. He volunteered at helping the Under the Stars event setting up. He helped at the Yuba Gardens dinner, contributed a lot with the raffles. He was always around as you needed him. I understand today his funeral was today at 11. Over 1,000 people attended. So I would like to close the first one is in his memory and remember his wife who works for our district. The second one is a very dear, close friend of this district, Mary Seawright. Mrs. Seawright had been in our district for 55 years. She started teaching in 1948 at Alicia School. She was my kindergarten teacher in 1950, and she spent a lot of her time at Linda School. Her husband was my teacher in high school, Delmer Seawright. You used to see her walking around with a big dog in East Marysville. The dog was pulling her. She was known for being an outstanding teacher. She gave thousands of dollars to different organizations around the state. And in her last year, she had no children. I believe she had 11 nieces and nephews. And Mr. Carrion was with her right till the end. He was always like a son to her. And he was very appreciated by her. She taught at Linda School in her 80s. And I used to go over there and visit with her, and she was still sharp doing what she loved to do, was to teach. So we would like to close in her memory also and recognize her as an outstanding teacher for our district.
Hey, thank you. Thank you, Mr. Carrion. I recall that, too. If there's no other questions, then we'll adjourn till March 11th.